Good morning. Good morning, and welcome to you all as we gather for worship this morning. I want to say thank you to everybody who has brought shoeboxes. They've been appearing in installments over the last two or three Sundays, and today we've got a wonderful collection of shoeboxes, which will go to people who are a lot less fortunate than we are. You'll see in the session news item that the church is going to be open on the afternoon of Remembrance Sunday. It's to give people an opportunity to come and just meditate and give thanks, and also to see the poppy display that some ladies in the church have been preparing as a memento on this very special 100 years anniversary. And at the War Memorial Service in Lumbride, there will be a poppy laid for each of the fallen of the Great War. So there'll be more information about Remembrance Sunday next week. I remember that Life Explored continues tonight in St. Margaret's Hall, and Connect in the Church Hall next Sunday morning. You know, we are so blessed to have people with the talent and the willingness to lead these initiatives. And I have found that even oldies like me can learn from looking at things from a new and different perspective. So why don't you give it a try tonight? We offer sincere condolences to Alan and Mandy Flett. Mandy's father died during this week, and the funeral's in Hopeman on Tuesday afternoon. And some of you may have noticed in the newspaper that John Craig, Rachel Emmett's friend, who used to come to church when Rachel was playing the organ, and who still came very regularly to Urquhart on the Sunday night service when she was playing. And he died suddenly last Monday. And his funeral service is in St. Mary's Roman Catholic Church in Fochabers at 11 a.m. on Tuesday morning. And we'll remember Rachel and Alan and Mandy in our prayers. We're pleased to have with us this morning our old friend, sorry, Stuart, I shouldn't say that. Our long-term friend, Stuart McKenzie, who is going to lead us in worship today.
The psalmist calls us to worship. I will extol thee, my God and King, and bless thy name for ever and ever. Every day I will bless thee and praise thy name for ever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Let us worship God by singing CH4 100, O Lord, thou art my God and King.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, our Father, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. We believe this, but we scarcely begin to understand it. We find your glory too great for words, and yet we can see your glory all around us. We see your glory in the wonder of creation, and we see it in the life you've given to humanity. We see it in the events of history, but most clearly of all, we see it in the face of Jesus Christ. We have come here today, Lord God, to join with all the other people, past, present, and future, to say, Holy, 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 mighty Lord God, all space and all time and beyond, show us your glory, now and always. Father, your love for us is without end. Yet our love for you and for one another is weak. It's often interrupted by self-centeredness, by distrust, or by vindictiveness. Whenever we come to pray to you, we have to admit that much of our life deserves your displeasure, that our life together is too often disfigured by our selfishness and self-love. Forgive us, we pray, and restore us to fellowship with you and with one another, for Jesus' sake. Lord God, whatever may happen to us or to the world, you have put your Spirit into our hearts, and you have called us to be your children. We can turn and call you Father. Help us, Father, to put our trust in you and to live as a family of your people through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in the words that he taught us, we now pray together to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. I have a very, very pleasurable duty this morning. I would like to introduce you to somebody who is going to work for us in quite a limited number of hours a week, but is going to work for us with the youth of this community. Those of you who've already had the chance to read your bulletin will know his name, and I'm going to ask him. This is all I'm going to do is introduce him this morning, and we will find out later about more about him as time goes on, I think. So, Tim, can you come up and say hello? This is Tim Still, and he starts with us on Thursday, which is the 1st of November. So, hello, Tim.
Good morning, everyone. And thank you for the opportunity. I'm very excited, and I'm looking forward to getting started and to getting to know you all. And I'll introduce my wife, Louise, and my little son, Freddie, who is coming up for 2 years old, who is my main job during the day because I'm a stay-at-home dad, which is amazing. It's great fun. I spend my days chasing them around the house and rescuing him from the stairs.
Can I, not all at once, but maybe after the service, you would like to say hello and come through and have a cup of tea or coffee and say hello to Tim and find out a little bit more about him, and Louise and Freddie as well. Thank you, Tim. Thank you. Would you all like to welcome? Give him a welcome. Thank you.
Well, I hope you all enjoyed your extra hour in bed this morning. Or didn't you? I did. I think I'll make it a permanent feature. Yes. It was rather nice to actually get up in the morning and have daylight, wasn't it? Of course, the trouble is, at the other end of the day, we're going to have a darker night. It's going to start early. Now, we've got a problem where I live, because there's no street lights, none at all up the track where we live. And it means that when I park the car at night, I've got a bit of a walk between the garage where I'm parking the car and my door, which I've got to open with the Yale key, and as sure as fate, I'm scrambling around trying to find the Yale key, and by the time I found it, the security light's gone off. So there I am in the dark trying to find the door. However, well seen it's winter, because we've now got the latest update. I've got my headlight. And it's a good one because it also adjusts down here. That's good. I can read this better now than I could before, right? So there's one thing. It's very handy to have a street light, your own, carrying your own headlight. I've got three, actually. There's one in the house in case the electricity goes off. I can then sit and read, all right. There's one in the car, and I've got one in my wheels as well, just in case. So I'm well looked after for that. But it's not the only aid I've got for looking, because it's also very handy if you lose things under the bed or under the desk or things. You can, oh yeah, you can see it all, and you can see the dust as well. And not here, of course. No, I'm talking about home. This is very handy, but I was given an even handier thing. My sister-in-law always finds me strange and wonderful things to get, and she gave me this. Now, if you drop a paper clip, this is just the thing for it, because it's magnetic and you can pick it up. But not just that, it's got a wee light as well. Oh, there it is. So, you can look into dark corners with these things. They're great fun. Actually, it was an absolute joy. I had a cousin was up. He'd just got married, and his wee boy was with him. He was a bit older than him, 5. And he was very shy with me indeed. He'd never met me before. And I can agree with that. It was a bit frightening to meet me. But when he found this and he found something else, the grabbers, he just played with that all the time, and he left a great friend. So this was a joy indeed. Just to say that they're very useful for finding things in dark places. We've all got dark places, and not just around the house, not just under the desk, not just behind the settee, but we've got dark places within as well. And we need a light to shine on these dark places, to show up where we need to shine some light on it. And the best light we can shine on these dark places are the teachings of Jesus Christ. And later on in the sermon, I'll be giving you an example of one that I found just in the last few days, one of the lights to shine on a dark place. There we are. Let's sing together CH4771, If You Believe and I Believe, and we'll sing it through 3 times because it's a jolly song.
Thank you.
Let us join again in prayer. Let us pray. Father, we now pray for other people with whom we share the benefits of your love. We pray for those with whom we share most intimately, our families and our friends, both near at hand and far away. And we pray too for the people with whom we find it difficult to share anything, those people who hate us or dislike us, those whom we fear and distrust. And we pray that we find it in our hearts to love and forgive them all. We pray for the people who govern the world, our Queen and her governments, and all governments, and all who are involved in national and local political life. We pray that they may be led by your Spirit to work for all the people, and not just for any particular group or faction. We pray for the affairs of the world and the life of the nations. We pray for peace between nations and for peace within each nation. And we pray for all the peacemakers, and we pray for those who are trying to bring an end to war and to take aid to the suffering. Merciful Father, we pray for the starving, homeless, hopeless people of the world, even those in wealthy nations who are cast out by society. We think of those millions in East Africa who have nothing to eat and nothing to live for, who are the victims of civil war, selfish greed and ambition. We remember that the weapons which are destroying their lives and their economies are made and sold by the first world, our world. And we pray that we may be moved to use our talents and our money in constructive ways to give new hopes and better lives. We pray for the Church of Jesus Christ, of which we are a part, and we pray for all Christian work and witness. We pray for ministers and missionaries that they be sustained in their faith. Father God, inspire by your love all who are trying to serve you. Comfort by your love all who are in trouble. Strengthen by your love all who bear great responsibility. And create by your love a true sense of us all being members of your great family. And we pray for all the men, women, and children who are suffering today, people who know pain and disease, poverty and hunger, fear and doubt, loneliness and sadness. And we pray for those who mourn. And in the silence of our hearts, we now bring before you the names of those known to us who need our prayers and the knowledge of your presence. May they be comforted and know that your Spirit is with them. All these prayers we make in and through Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord. Amen.
I have one or two questions to ask you, first of all. Put your hand up if you don't hear very well. Anybody? Sorry, I can't hear you. Can't hear you. So I thought the other day, people were whispering. I thought, why are they whispering? And then I blew my nose, and then I suddenly heard better. What about glasses? How many need glasses? Right, thank you. Why I've asked you those questions, I phoned the wrong number. I was trying to phone Valerie Kyle the other day, and instead I phoned Margaret King. And I said, oh, I'm sorry I phoned you. But I spoke about this Presbytery of Moray prayer diary, which I love. And I said to her, oh, while I'm on the phone, I love this. And she said, I put it together, so thank you. But I want to read just this little bit, the prayer of the month for October. I like it. Lord, give us heavenly hearing aids that we may hear your word of direction and encouragement. Fit us with heavenly specs that we may see our situation from your perspective. And when we have your mind, Lord, help us to play our part and obey with cheerful, faithful hearts. And thank you for allowing us to be your co-workers. I liked that bit particularly. We're all co-workers. And if you think just now, particularly in this situation where we haven't had a minister for a long time and everybody is helping everybody else, visiting, helping with services, caring, doing all kinds of things. And we are all co-workers. And I just thought, instead of me praying just now, I think we should all pray to God to ask him to direct us. We want to know his vision. We want to hear his word guiding us. Because sometimes, and I confess I'm a bit like this, I talk too much and I don't listen enough. So we just have 2 minutes just praying. Where you are, please pray for our church. And I particularly want to say thank you to the nominating committee who have for so long given so much of their time to looking for what's the next step here. So let's just pray together. Father, thank you for hearing our prayers. Amen.
Let us worship God again in CH4 129. The Lord is King. Lift up your voice.
The first reading this morning is 1 Kings 3, verses 4 to 14. It's on page 338 in the Pew Bibles. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth or for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies or for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life. The second reading, the New Testament reading, is Matthew 6, verses 9 to 15, and it's on page 970 in the Pew Bibles. And it's a passage entitled, Teaching About Prayer. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And let us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when you sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Amen, and may God bless this reading of his holy word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Luke chapter 12 and verse 2. One of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Well, as most of you will know by now, in order to better link in with Connect, we've moved to the narrative lectionary, the week-by-week readings which form the basis of services and sermons. But this move has not been without its problems. Last week's theme, you'll remember, of the narrative lectionary was David's relationship with Bathsheba, which was felt to be somewhat inappropriate for the younger people who attend Connect. And instead of doing that, Andrew led a splendid alternative session on reluctant disciples and others. But as you've heard just now, this week's Old Testament reading, which is supposed to be the main theme for today, is on Solomon's wisdom, which I'm sure you remember very well indeed, was our reading and theme back on the 19th of August, exactly the same reading. So this caused problems. There was a temptation to think, as I thought briefly, well, that's 2 months ago. No one's going to remember it. Just do the same one again. However, honesty prevailed. Solomon had been sacrificing at Gibeon when God appeared to him in a dream and asked what he wanted. And Solomon's answer was, give thy servant an understanding mind to govern thy people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, thy great people? And God was very pleased with this answer and granted the prayer, because Solomon had not asked for long life for himself or for riches or for the lives of his enemies. He was going to receive these things as well, but only because he'd asked for wisdom in the first place. As we saw a couple of months ago, Solomon was one of Israel's most successful rulers. But as we also saw, he was also a ruthless, wily tyrant who exploited his people remorselessly. However, it's not Solomon's history which is important today. Rather, it's how God answers prayer and how Solomon's story gives us some insight into this. And this insight is of direct relevance to ourselves and what we ask of God in our prayers. What Solomon asked for was not selfish or material things, but he asked for a personal quality which would be of benefit to others and which would make himself a better person, or it should have. Generally speaking, God will not interfere with the workings of the natural world. He created it, after all, and he saw that it was good. Now, just imagine, for example, if gravity was suddenly suspended, apparently at random, because someone had prayed to be able to lift a heavy weight. If that were to happen all the time, we wouldn't dare to fly. We wouldn't dare to get out of bed, for that matter. This might be clearer in a true example. A good number of years ago, when I was doing pulpit supply in a vacancy elsewhere in the presbytery, I was contacted by the family of a young boy who was very seriously ill. And I was asked if I would pray for him during the service. I immediately agreed. However, while I was getting ready in the vestry before the service, one of the elders burst in and asked me, "Are you going to be praying for that boy?" And I said, "Yes, I was." And the elder immediately demanded that I drop that prayer, because it was pointed out to me that this family were not regular churchgoers, and they were only kind of working into coming to church regularly because of the state of their son. And the elders generally had been working to try to increase their faith, but felt that if we prayed for the child's recovery and that didn't happen, they feared that the family's fragile faith would be destroyed. I said that I saw their point, but suggested they wait until they heard what I actually prayed for. Of course, what I prayed for was not a miraculous cure, but I asked that the wee lad be given courage and comfort, and that his family be given likewise. God is always ready to give us courage and comfort and patience. He's always ready to let us know that he is with us, he is for us. God is always ready to hold our hands. He's always ready to listen if we have a problem. But we must be ready to listen to his advice. My Joan was not a great churchgoer, but she prayed a lot. She used to say that she always took her problems to God and that he always gave her an answer. I couldn't help feeling that I was one of the problems. But she said the answers were not always what she wanted to hear, but they were the ones she had to hear. They were the right answers. They were not the easy way out, but they were the right way out of the problem. Solomon prayed for the right kind of thing, an improvement in himself. Now, we heard too that Jesus' disciples went to him for advice about prayer. Jesus was a man of prayer. He attended the synagogue. He took part, of course, in the public prayers in the synagogue, but he also, as we know, spent much time in private prayer. We may think of the Lord's Prayer as being unique to Jesus, but there's more to it than that. Jesus almost certainly based his prayer on a prayer which was much used in his own day. I think it's still used down to this day. It's called the Kaddish. One of the earliest versions of the Kaddish goes like this: "Exalted and hallowed be his great name in the world, which he created according to his will. May he establish his kingdom in your lifetime and in your days, and in the lifetime of the whole household of Israel, speedily and at a near time." Well, you can see that there's a very strong echo of this in the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come." Something which I'm ashamed to say I had not really taken note of before is that there are two versions of the Lord's Prayer in the Gospels. We read the Matthew version, which is the basis of the prayer we say together during the service. But there's also Luke's version, and which is rather shorter. It goes, Father, may your name be sanctified, may your kingdom come, give us each day the bread we need, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and do not bring us to the test. According to the experts, it's probable that this is closer to the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. But it's also very likely he taught it on more than one occasion and could very well have varied it. The three synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, have very similar accounts of the life and teaching of Jesus. But there are also considerable differences between the Gospels because there were different people writing them, different people in how they remembered the events and the teaching. However, both versions of the Lord's Prayer fall into two halves. Both start off with God the Father setting out our relationship with the Almighty. Thus, we can look to God as one would look to a caring and loving Father. Now, occasionally, Jesus referred to God as Abba, Father. Abba is an Aramaic word meaning father, but it is the word that the family would have used. It became fashionable over the last 50 years or so to equate it with daddy. But this would not be accurate. It's not a child's usage, but a family usage, and it denotes the relationship, in Jesus' case, as the Son of God. In his letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verse 15, Paul extends this further. He writes, when we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Then we ask that God's name be hallowed or holy or sanctified. Names are important. They denoted status. Even now, we use phrases like, he's got a good name for honesty. He's got a bad name as a cheat. We are called to remember the commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And then we go on in the prayer to ask for God's kingdom to be established. This is a big, big topic, which I shall leave for another time and possibly another person. The second half of the Lord's Prayer is our requests relating to ourselves. Of these, the one asking God to forgive our debts or our sins, only insofar as we are ready to forgive those who are our debtors or who have sinned against us. Professor J.D. G. Dunn, when he commented on this, described this particular part of the prayer as one of the most frightening requests that can ever be put to God, that he should forgive us just as we forgive others. Forgiveness is one of Jesus' main themes. You'll remember that Peter asked Jesus, how often should he forgive someone? And Peter suggested 7 times. Jesus replied, I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7, which is more or less saying, you forgive and keep on forgiving. And then he told the parable of the debtor servant, the king's servant who was found he was owing the king 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. 1 talent was worth what a laborer would have been paid over 15 years. That's 1 talent. He was owed 10,000. I've not bothered trying to work out just how much that is. But the servant begged for forgiveness. He was about to be thrown into prison, but he begged for forgiveness. And the king, in his mercy, forgave him. And then as he was leaving, that same servant grabs a fellow servant, asks for his money back, and what's he owing? A measly 100 denarii. That was 100 days' work. Not 15 years' work. 100 days' work. He says, no, no, into jail, and chucks him in jail. Jesus warns that there would be reckoning for those who did not forgive from the heart. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is one to take to our hearts. That is an example of how Jesus can help us to examine ourselves. I'm actually glad that I've been afforded the opportunity to look into prayer again. And I know that I shall be approaching the Lord's Prayer now with rather greater understanding. And I hope you will too. Amen. All praise be to God, to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, world without end. Amen. We shall now make our gifts to God. And while the offering is being uplifted, we'll remain seated and sing CH4545, Lord, Teach Us How to Pray Aright. Let us pray. O Lord, most bountiful, everything comes from you, and we now give you back your own. Now, therefore, accept us as your servants, along with these offerings that we bring in devotion to your most holy name, and give us grace to serve you with gladness of heart, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for life. We thank you for our birth into the world, made in your image, as stewards of your creation. We thank you for our bodies and our minds, for health, physical well-being, and enjoyment, for our minds and our spirits, and for all experiences and feelings of joy. We thank you for life in all its fullness, that life which was made visible in Jesus Christ, that life together which we can enjoy because of him, that life eternal in which nothing can separate us from your love. And as we remember the communion of saints, we bless and praise you for all who have handed on to us the torch of faith, especially those known to us and loved by us. Give us grace to live by its light and show Christ to the world in our generation. And at the last, grant us entrance into the heavenly places. All this we ask through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. We close our worship this morning by singing CH4 547, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. May the peace of God be with us. May the peace of Christ be with us. May the peace of the Holy Spirit be with us and all whom we love this day, this year, and for all eternity.